On November 1st, Chris Rock hosted Saturday Night Live and did the opening monologue. Now, I have to admit that I don't stay up that late that often anymore, but I do remember Saturday Night Live from my college days when we'd gather around the dorm, I guess living room, recreation room, watch television. And those were the great days of the late 70s when you had Gilda Radner, Bill Murray, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, and so on. Of course, the good deacon wouldn't remember that. He wasn't born yet. Neither would Father Scheer, but some of us do. Nevertheless, Saturday night, Chris Rock has this opening monologue, and he says this. In America, there are no sacred days. We commercialize everything. And then he went on for a little tirade about how about 5 years from now there will be 9/11 sales, or how there's Martin Luther Day King sales, like I dream of having a Toyota, that's my dream, or, you know, free at last, Toyota's free at last, and so on. But he said, look at what we did to Christmas. Christmas is Jesus' birthday. Jesus was the least materialistic person to roam the earth. No bling on Jesus. We have turned Jesus' birthday into the most materialistic day ever. Not just a day, but a season. Then we have the nerve to have an economist come on TV and say, we have had a horrible Jesus birthday season. Well, when you think about it, he's right. Now, according to the press, and that's how I became aware of this, is Chris Rock crossed the line. Because we don't talk about Jesus' birthday being Christmas anymore. It's about Christmas, commercial Christmas. So you and I already know from the past few days how it is Black Friday has passed, and now we have Cyber Monday, and so on and so forth. But the reality is, it is Jesus' birthday. Think what Isaiah would say to us. Now, Isaiah lived 600 years before our Lord. But if we go to our first passage, Isaiah would have said, behold, God, you are angry and we are sinful. All of us have become like unclean people. All our good deeds are like polluted rags. We have all withered like leaves and our guilt carries us away like the wind. There is none of us who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to cling to you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us up to our guilt. Wouldn't Isaiah say that to us today and how we as a nation celebrate Christmas? I think so. But at the same time, we have to remember Christ did come. And he came because the Heavenly Father loved us so much. He didn't want us to be like the polluted rags and so on. He wanted to bring us a Savior. So then, what do we do, given that we live in this very commercial day and age? Well, we have to heed St. Paul then, who lived at the time of the Roman Empire. St. Paul says that we are called to be committed, to have fellowship with Christ, to remember we've received every spiritual gift, and then with that, to be ready for Christ to come again. So my brothers and sisters, in all of this, we have now begun Advent. We're preparing. But this really is just one season of the day, this Sunday, that begins a whole new liturgical year. So in a way, what we're doing now is starting over again. We're going to start again to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. Yes, to remember that he did come to save us, but also to remember he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Yes, we're going to spend almost 4 weeks preparing for Christmas and then continue on through Christmas season and then what we call ordinary time, his public ministry, Easter, and so on. But right now, 4 weeks of Advent. What are we going to do with it? It's a spiritual time. And how awful it would be if we let this time go and we didn't take the time to pray. We didn't take the time to reflect. We didn't take the time for confession, to clean our souls again. But we did take time for the parties, the shopping, and everything else. God help us. So we need to celebrate Christmas like it's Jesus' birthday, not like it's some commercial season. So what are we going to do? Well, this is very important for you parents. And I think all of us could look at the example of some of our great saints to think of how we ought to prepare for Christmas. So yes, it is that time of sharing gifts with each other. Think, though, of St. Nicholas, who in German would be Saint Claus, Santa Claus. So St. Nicholas, the one who's the model. Tradition has that during the 300s, when he was a bishop, there was a man who had three daughters. He could not afford the dowry, so he was going to sell them into slavery, an awful kind of slavery. St. Nicholas heard, and so for three consecutive nights, he would drop a bag of gold through the window of the house, giving each daughter a dowry. Hence, gift giving. Also, we remember how the Magi presented the three gifts to Jesus. So what could we learn from this? One is, yes, it's good to give a gift to show our love for someone else, but it shouldn't be received with the attitude of, this is what I need, what I want, and so on. It should be received like, this person is giving me a gift of love. And we should have thanks for that. In that in mind, though, the gift giver should be mindful that we give something that is truly good, something that is needed by this person. How awful it would be to receive a chia pet just because somebody wants to give us a gift. We see ads for all kinds of gifts. Give something worthwhile that's going to be good for that person and the person who receives to accept it with gratitude as a gift. At the same time, parents, try to think about limiting. The Magi presented three gifts. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Maybe just three gifts like the Magi gave? Why do we have to have hundreds of gifts? Frankly, I've had my nephew and niece. They're now older. Nephew has three daughters. And my nephew says it is crazy the amount of gifts his kids receive from all kinds of relatives and so on. Do we need that much? No, not at all. So please think about St. Nicholas, what is truly a good gift. Also, it doesn't have to be so much a material thing, does it? Maybe it's something we make. Or some of the best gifts are simple, like even a greeting card. When I think of people that I've known in my life that I do not always communicate with during the year, that greeting card means a lot. And in writing out those greeting cards, it's almost like a little prayerful meditation about the friendship that has been shared that still lasts even though there's the distance of time and space. With that, though, please give religious greeting cards. We don't need mice looking like elves and things like that. Have religious greeting cards. It's about Christ, preparing for Christ. And again, sending those out can be something that is very meditative about friendship and praying for that person. With that, some point you'll be setting up your tree. It's time to tell the children, what does that tree mean? It is a Christmas tree after all. And it goes back to St. Boniface, the great missionary to the German people in the 800s. St. Boniface was evangelizing the pagans in Germany. And he realized that in this town of Geismar, they had this old oak tree, this huge oak tree to the god Thor. And every year on what would be our Christmas Eve, the high priest of Thor would offer a human sacrifice, usually a child, so that the kid's blood could feed the tree and they could have fertility and so on among the crops and all that. Well, St. Boniface thought, here's a great chance. So Christmas Eve, he went to the town of Geismar, found the people gathered around the tree. Poor little child was ready to be sacrificed. High priest was going through his incantations. As about he was going to bring down the hammer on the kid's head, St. Boniface stepped up with his crozier, cracked the guy in the arm, hammer fell, and St. Boniface said, there will be no human sacrifice this night. For tonight we celebrate the true Savior of the world, who shed His blood to give us everlasting life. He then took an axe and struck that tree of Geismar, the old oak, split it in two, and behind was the little fir tree. And St. Boniface said, that's going to be our new sacred tree, because that tree points up to heaven. And that tree is an evergreen, because Christ came to give us everlasting life in heaven. Tell your children about the Christmas tree. And then probably under the tree, if you're like my family, you'll have your little nativity set. And the nativity set's special. Tell them about St. Francis of Assisi. In the year 1223, shortly before he died, he was in the little village of Greccio, Italy. He wanted to do something special, so he set up that first nativity scene. He took some of the farmer's animals, borrowed them, and he took the statue of Mary and Joseph. Then he took a little child's baby doll. That would be baby Jesus. Set up the first nativity scene. With that, at midnight mass, St. Francis, the good deacon, like our good deacon, went over to proclaim the gospel. And then as the monks were singing Puer Natus, the child is born, he went over, he knelt down, picked up the little baby doll, and everyone says a miracle happened. Little baby doll became baby Jesus. And Francis held him in his arms for just a few seconds that seemed like eternity, and then put him down. Tell your children that story. But then when you set up your scene, think of how wonderful it would be if we could hold baby Jesus. We can. Remember the gospel from last Sunday, Christ the King? Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of your brothers and sisters, you do for me. Have your kids, at the end of the day, tell you one good deed they did, one sacrifice they did that day. Write it on a little piece of paper and put that paper in your little creche scene. And that way, when Christmas comes, little baby Jesus has a little manger scene filled with love. But in your heart, you'll know baby Jesus, because you've been sharing in His love, doing those good deeds, those sacrifices for Him all year. And one last point. Now, I don't have any particular saint, but rather I could say there's a group of people. And these were the Irish Catholics during what would be Tudor and Stuart England, a time of awful persecution. William and Mary, despite founding a wonderful college and university in our own state, but also hated Catholics. And they inflicted upon the Irish people and all Catholics in their realm what were called the penal laws. Priests, if caught saying Mass, would be executed, hung, drawn, and quartered, which was a ghastly form of execution. Children, Catholic children, weren't allowed to attend school, so they had to have secret schools. If priests were caught saying Mass again, imprisoned, executed, so they had to find places, like even rocks, what were called Mass rocks to this day, or other secret places to have Mass. So priests circulated through Ireland, like under disguise, like under the catacombs and so on. But what the Irish people would do is put one lit candle in the window, sometimes three. And the British soldiers, who were Protestant, would say, why are you doing that? And the faithful Irish Catholics would say, oh, that candle's lit for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, so that as they pass through on Christmas Eve, they'll find our home welcoming them. And the British soldiers thought, crazy Catholics, another popish superstition. But what that candle did was alert a priest that that was a Catholic home. He could find refuge there. They could have Mass there. And so, my brothers and sisters, maybe in your own windows, just put in one lit, probably electric, candle, maybe three. Maybe a neighbor might ask you, why do you only have one lit candle in your window? Tell them the story. There's a time when we were persecuted, but it also shows yours is a Catholic home, a Christian home. But it also makes us mindful that this Christmas, when we think of our brothers and sisters in places like Pakistan, Syria, and Iraq, what kind of Christmas will they have? Let's not forget them. And when you're thinking of gift giving, maybe give a gift to an organization that will help them this Christmas. Oh yes, let us not forget all of those whose Christmas will be that under persecution. But maybe theirs will be the best Christmas of all, because they know they need Christ. So little ideas, but we begin Advent. We begin a new year. So one flame on our little Advent candle tonight. Let's make sure that flame continues to grow, so that when we come to Christmas, we'll truly know the love of Christ, and our faith will be brightly shining in this world. May God bless you.